Hi, I'm Nicola.
And I'm Jay Percy.
And welcome to the Afro-Animist podcast.
We are two animists and spiritual practitioners exploring the secular through the spiritual, discussing life experiences through a sacred lens.
Each week we share our experiences and dive deep into everything in life, from philosophy, metaphysics, Abhya, occultism, shamanism, culture, healing, nature, animism,
the arts, pop culture, conspiracies, psychedelics and witchcraft. Nothing is off the table in these discussions, which aim to get to the heart of what it means to be spiritual and Afro-diasporic in an increasingly sterile and authoritarian world.
We keep it real whilst exploring the biggest mysteries of our multiverse. Join us holding this space to laugh, cry, debate, build community and tear down oppressive structures.
On the 15th of October, we'll be speaking live at the Magical Women's Conference about Afro-Indigenous practice and the shadow.
We'll be doing a deep dive into shadow work and using Afro-Indigenous practice to improve the relationship with the self and external world.
Get your tickets at www.magicalwomenconference.com. Look at the show notes for more information and
see you there.
Welcome, 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 you beautiful, beautiful being of the multiverse to the Afro-Animist podcast. You're here with me today, Jay Percy.
And me, Nicola. And today we will be sharing with you crafting medicine tools. One of my favourite things to do.
Crafting medicine tools. Yeah, I think we are definitely in the realm of Nikki this episode. This feels like a whole advertisement to get her to finally start her medicine bag emporium. And after listening to this episode, every single one of you is going to be encouraged to hit our DMs and hound Nicola. So there's that.
No pressure, Nick. Thanks for that. Okay, I better have something interesting to say today.
Why are you excited about this episode today?
Because I love making things. Like, I love it. Yeah. I feel like creating with your hands or doing things with your hands is one of the most satisfying. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's so satisfying. And it's the feeling. It's the feeling of actually creation, man. It is creation coming out of my hand. So obviously we do our spell work and all that kind of stuff. But for me, like creating tools to work with is just as important as actually where all my spell work starts, if you put it like that. Because I don't really do.
Well, it's a large part of your intention setting, isn't it?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Like, so even like the things that I've made for you in the past, every time I'm making those things, I essentially will dream them up for you, or I'll channel them. And then the whole process of making them, there'll be an awareness. So it is, I mean, occasionally I will just like whip out my cross stitch and sit and watch TV and do it. But most of the time I have like a line of intention when I'm doing it. And it's really fun.
Yeah. And today we're definitely going to be showing you some of the medicine bags that Nikki has made. Well, I've got a couple here that she's made for me, and they are honestly just so, so treasured. And yeah, stay tuned because we will pull those out. But I feel that making my tools is just, it's such a beautiful thing to be able to do, because when you're doing your spell work, you know, everything from the ground up, as much as you can control, has been touched by your hands with intention. Mm. It's also why I like going on about foraging as much of your own herbs as you can for your own spell work from your own environment. It's this idea again of, you know, if we think that there are energy centers that come from our hands, once we're able to like lay our hands on something, whether it's respectfully pulling it from the earth or respectfully taking those pieces and piecing them back together, then that's, it's so magical. And it really just charges everything you do with your own personal energy. And there's nothing more effective than that in spell work. That's the essence of spell work, being able to you know, do for oneself. This is why we do it in the first place, right? We're here to manipulate. Yeah. We're here to manipulate our energetic environment. This is why we're witches.
Exactly. Exactly that. Yeah. And I just, I feel like it's just a really good thing for people, for human beings to be involved in some kind of like creative art form, not for anything else other than just like your connection to self. For me, it's like being able to dream something up and then create it, actually birth it with my hands. Is such, there's something about the whole process that gives such a deep level of satisfaction. And it may, may sound crazy, maybe that's not what people are expecting to hear, but it's like that. It's that thing of starting something and finishing it, and then there's actually a product at the end. And sometimes I feel like we need, I feel like things like that are really healthy for us to do. It kind of, and this, this comes from a place.
They're good dopamine hitters. They're high dopamine hitters.
Exactly. And finishing a task. Exactly. And I just feel like we do so much like that. Our whole lives are based around like these tasks. And, you know, I don't know about everyone else, but I have a lot of unfinished tasks every day. That to-do list is just never ever ending, do you know what I mean? So there's moments when it comes to things like that, creating, that give you, it will give me this place of satisfaction that actually sometimes I find quite hard to receive in other aspects of my life. So yeah, just all the dopamine, please, all the dopamine.
I mean, even if we take this up from into like the secular and bigger scale, there's just such an element of respect that comes with doing things with your hands yourself. Think about Amish communities and how they still have their barn raisings. They'll all work together to put up a house. It's just such a respect for the environment. They're not just hiring a couple of guys to do it and shoving it up in some like soulless city district. They know the land, they're all working together, they're all drawing out the plans, agreeing on it. They're all, if you've never seen a barn raising, I would just go on YouTube, pause this, go look at barn raising, come straight.
Oh my gosh, are you literally getting our listeners to pause the episode so they can go and look at someone raise a barn? What are you saying?
Yes, I absolutely am. Do you know what? It just so much more respect for your environment. Do you think all of these silly little roadmen would be trashing their local areas if they had put up fucking the estate themselves? No, that's yours. You made it.
This is your 30s.
There's relevance in everything I say. I think there's relevance everywhere.
I feel like this is one of these, this is your 30s thing where you're like, wow, I'm really starting to take pleasure in things like pillowcases, kitchen utensils, and how to, you know, correctly fix a roof. Because these, that, to me, that's true adulthood.
Yeah. It really is. You don't want to be buying this shit anymore because anyone could go down to Asda and buy. You can't buy a house in Asda, if I mean. But anyone can go buy the shit to do things. You can go into these days, you can go into like the works and they're selling like witchy shit in there.
It is fashionable right now, babe. It
very
is fashionable. We're ahead of
the trend. Need you guys to know we're not new to this. We're true to this. This has been us since we were kids.
T-shirts coming soon, guys. We're not new to this. We're true to this. Love it. Oh, my gosh. Oh, the levels of wit are so pleasing. I would love also, obviously, you've just gone ahead and gone, oh, this is Nikki because she likes to, you know, sit around and make shit. Also, you are an amazing artist. And I want to encompass art in this because when we use the word medicine, so you may have noticed, dear listeners, that I will use that word kind of seemingly interchangeably with a lot of different things. So, and for me, that's because then it's the energy of medicine, you know, so it isn't a herb is medicine, it's the energy of that thing. What is medicine? Something that creates transformation and healing in your body, your psyche. So all of this, exactly. All of this work is medicine work, you know. These are medicine. These are different tools that we would use. And you are very deeply connected to these places in yourself. And I would love you to share also about how you work with your art as a medicine tool.
Yeah. I love painting because it calms me down. That's, I think, why I probably started to do it to begin with. It gave me a sense of calm and escape. With an ADHD brain like mine, I absolutely need some kind of meditative practice where I can just focus on one thing, because all I hear is chatter. I've only recently learned that not everyone hears, like, in a chatter, like, about four voices chattering over the top of each other the whole time. I thought that was just how the brain works. Apparently not.
Do they not?
So painting. No.
Mind-blowing information.
Some people have stillness and calm. Oh, my God.
Shut so the painting front door.
I know. It gives me an opportunity to focus on one thing. And when we're looking into, like, scientific principles like the polyvagal theory, so the vagus nerve, the wandering nerve that moves from the top of the, well, from the brain right down to, if you're a woman, the cervix, that is your flight, fight, or fawn response center. And one of the ways that you can help to tone the nerve if you've had a lot of, like, childhood trauma, is actually deep breathing. Now, you wouldn't think of art as something where you're doing deep breathing necessarily, but it is a very controlled breath practice, because there might be something where I have to be really detailed and slow on something. And in order to do that, I have to make sure that I'm breathing in carefully to be able to do that, so I'm not jogging or, like, shaking my hands. It's literally focusing the entire body to be able to get a fluid and slow movement. When I was speaking to my husband about this, he was saying, oh yeah, when I was in the cadets as a kid, they teach you breathing techniques when you're holding a rifle too, so you don't shake. You literally have to breathe through this while you're doing those while you're doing those steady hand movements. So I'm not very adept with a rifle, although I feel like I should be if a zombie apocalypse is on its way.
Yeah, you need
It's the UK. That's irrelevant anyway. But the being able to, like, breathe and slow down, that's a really important part of healing, because especially if you are a stressy person or you're working through anxiety, that's really helpful. And I will say all the time, I think anyone can paint. You just either need the right teacher or to be able to have reckless abandon, just be like, screw it, I'm painting, it is what it is. It doesn't need to be perfect, guys.
Oh, you say that, that actually triggers me so much. It doesn't have to be perfect, guys. You could just have a go. This is true, these are true facts. Do you know, I'm not going to lie, that is such a big issue for me, because I would love to paint. And okay, so when Jay and I first met, obviously, you know, our love story and how we kind of met on our course and everything. Before I actually met her in person, she was doing these, you were doing like these workshops where you were sending out canvases, like a little bottle of Prosecco and some paints. And then you were having like a painting evening on Zoom. And I just literally was like, who the fuck is this wonderful woman? I need to do that. And then you never did another one of those after I'd like jumped up and like, so I'm waiting for that. I'm sure
I still have all of this. I still have all of the stuff. I just need to like fine tune. I need clearer, a big reveal. I am finishing my job on the 1st of December. My day job. So I will be full-time craftsperson, artist, at which point I probably will start doing workshops again, because I have a bit more of an understanding of the configuration I want.
So, oh my gosh, I literally can't wait.
You heard it here first, guys.
I cannot wait. And don't worry, I will be pushing you to make that happen. Because I'm just like, can you just do one for me? Structure doesn't matter. Just send me the paint and the Prosecco. What a wonderful thing to do. Before we go any further, do you have a deck for us today?
I do have a deck for us today. I have the Illustrated Herbiary Collection Box.
It's just by that, man. That...
Maya Toll. It's so beautiful.
It's so pretty. It looks like exactly how something about Herb should look. It's very pleasing to me.
I know. I've been staring at this thinking, oh, why can't I be this good an artist? But it's...
Oh, babe. It's none of that rubbish.
Yeah. Self-talk. This beautiful book. It comes with like this really lovely book. And it comes in this really lovely purple bag.
Oh, anything that comes with a
pouch. We're not buying these especially for the show, by the way. We just...
No, you're now, basically, free. Because of the show, you're finding a reason to use them. if this is confusing to you, listener, please go back and listen to Tara as a Tool, and you will understand about the serious addiction issues that practicing tarot brings up for most people.
I'm absolutely going to have a wall of these things. I need to buy another deck, especially before the next episode. So it's got these lovely gold sides. Oh, I love a gilded edge.
Me too.
And that's the front. And then we've got one of the cards there, but I'm going to shuffle. And guys, worth saying, this section of the show, purely for entertainment. When you're a reader, normally you'll have a deck or a tool that you work with frequently. I do not work with these frequently because I am a collector. the deck that I work with frequently is on my altar. I don't think I'd be in a hurry to do that on a podcast because they're quite special to me. And I also, we both read Chels. As a Beer Woman, we read Chels.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing the Lots, if you're a hoodoo practitioner. So I'm just shuffling these cards and I'm going to take... from the top of the deck, and we're just gonna see what general message that the universe is providing to us through these lovely, lovely cards. Ooh, planting, not the frying sweet kind. No, calm down, Jammo.
I got really excited.
Planting. So let me go to the book. Because, like I said, I don't know my arse from my elbow on these ones.
Can you tell us about planting? Like, why? Can you explain to the readers there's more than one kind of planting? And that's why it's disappointing for me.
Okay, so planting the fruit, which looks like a banana, is really tasty when you fry it and you serve it with some rice and peas. And it's basically a cure-all. You're upset? Planting. Having a bad day? Planting.
Planting.
And it's planting, not plantain.
Oh my gosh. No, let's not even go there.
Didn't we cover this in an episode with one of our guests?
I can't remember. I would have trauma forgot that because there's just no question about it. It's planting. Oh, it's planting.
Yeah. Are you West African? Let us know in the DMs. Come talk with your beef about plantain.
Oh no, but this is where then I get all like confused inside of me, and this is the issue of being mixed race, because I know that genetically a lot of my family is from West Africa.
Yeah.
But then the Caribbean in me just can't say plantain. I can't. It has to be plantain. Sorry,
it's
anyway.
It's more in the mouth. Why would you? Anyway, if you let her, planting will share stories of wagon trains and ocean crossings and Alexander's shenanigans in Egypt. Given a chance, she'll make a traveler of you, too, drawing you gently out of your comfort zone, moving you from safe to the edge of the wild, pushing the boundaries of civilized behavior and laughing at your scruples. It will start with a small thing. Planting might offer a leaf to ease a sting or the itch of poison ivy. Just chew it and spit it on the bite, she'll encourage. Great Aunt Hilda would have a heart attack, you think, while your inner wild child smiles gleefully at this baby step away from civilized. So I think it's really about taking a step forward and being supported in jumping into something like new, which feels quite poignant considering I was just talking about December the 1st, my D-Day. Mm-hmm. Planting doesn't ask you to step away from the true self into some unknown version of you. She asks instead that you dust off the unruly and slightly wild but deeply connected side of yourself that gets pushed into the background while you're busy being an adult. Okay, so I guess it's this reminder to have fun in this.
Yeah.
Yeah. This reminder to be a bit free, be a bit wild, accept the new with joy instead of worry. That's what I'm getting from it anyway.
Oh, I love it. It's just, mate, it's, I love that deck, Jay.
It's so beautiful. Just beautiful.
It makes me think about, well, okay, so what I love about things like this, like, so you've got this deck that's all about herbs. Then it helps you kind of understand more the energy of that plant, you know? So they're talking about aspects and thinking about planting. So if I'm right about planting, is it also what we know as white man's foot over here? And it grows on paths. Yeah, so it's like, it's also, it's a very hardy plant. It's outside. It's actually a really, I think it's quite nutritious, and it used to be something they used in this country a lot.
Yes.
I don't know. There was lots of things that you said in that that just really brought up my images of me, like, literally walking through where all this planting is growing on the footpaths where I kind of walk the doggy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just white man's foot. It's a feminine herb. It's the planet Venus. The element is earth. Its powers are healing, strength, protection, and snake repelling. Bind the plant in with red wool to the head to cure headaches, and place beneath the feet to remove weariness. Planting is also hung in the car to guard against the intrusion of evil spirits. A piece of the root in the pocket protects its bearer against snake bites.
How interesting. Oh my god, I'm literally, I'm going on Amazon now and buying that deck, bruv. Like, I need it. I need that in my life.
They actually have a whole collection of these, and I can't remember the names of the other ones, but I just remember seeing them at the time and suppressing the fact that I wanted all of the other ones, because it could be this huge, like, library collection of these beautiful decks, which will, it'll absolutely be eventually. Dear listener,
imagine how pretty that collection would look in your house. I think you need it.
Yeah,
send me the list of the other ones. There's birthdays and Christmases and stuff.
Yeah. Back to our usual programming.
Yes. Oh, thank you so much for that reading, my darling. Beautiful. Remember the inner child.
You guys. Yeah, remember your inner child. Have fun as you're stepping into something new.
Exactly.
This beautiful, beautiful pouch is a medicine bag that Nikki made me. And just every time I wear it, good things happen. Like, I find just money on the street, or I get some good news, and you can just feel the absolute love that's been put into every single stitch here. And I don't know if you've done this intentionally, so I'm sorry if this comes out like a... Okay, so whenever you're stitching things, you're meant to like slightly stitch something out of line in a place, otherwise you bind your soul into it. I don't know. Have you done that? Yeah.
No, but okay, that's so interesting.
So it's like, it's perfectly straight on the back until there's like a couple of kinks. And it's just like, that's what a witch would do.
This, okay, that is fucking crazy. Excuse my French.
Yeah.
Because one issue that I have, right, is I'm like, my stitching will be perfect, and then there'll be just a one place or a couple of places where it's out, and I'm just, it's soul destroying. It's literally like, oh my god, this would have been perfect, and now this is out. And it's just weird. It's like, there's nothing I can do to not do that. As many years as I've been doing it, there'll always be like unique little kinks in it. And sometimes that's why I'm like, okay, I'm never going to sell these things. They can just be gifts to people who love me. Like,
you should have told me this sooner. I'd have told you this story. It's like your ancestors are protecting you from stitching your soul into things you make.
Literally. Oh my God. And you know, again, why that is such an important thing to know and realize now. And so thank you for that information. Like, I never make anything for myself. So I mean, I do, but I always make, I make myself prototypes, right? Yeah. So I've got the, I'm like, okay, I want to make this thing. I'll make a version. I'll keep that one. And then all the ones that come afterwards will end up being gifts. So when you show that medicine pouch that I made, you know, I did make it in a very intentional way. And you say the work that happens with it, it's literally like, I'm like, why have I not made one like that for myself? Like, what am I doing? So thank you. I'm glad it works.
Yeah, you're the luck funnel. You're
the luck funnel. It's just going right through me to other people. Great. No. I love you and I need you to have that luck. It's a validation for me because, you know, these things are made with magic and love and intention, and to hear that feedback is amazing. So I'm so glad. So what do you use that one for? Do you use it for anything specific?
I do. I have like an insert in here, which I won't show on here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Crystal fell out. I will be able to tell you this one I last used for protection against the evil eye.
Okay.
Nice. I tend to use things for one thing particularly. However, with this medicine pouch, there have been a couple of instances where I've just felt like I need to use this for a couple of different things. So I put an insert in there. And then I charge it and, you know, cleanse it under the moon and all of that. And then I've used it for two different things. So most recently was protection against the evil eye. Before that was to attract abundance. And of course, I've wore it multiple times on the two separate intentions. And the abundance one is great because you get these little reminders from the universe. You'll just be walking and find like a pound coin. It's like, oh, thank you. It's a reminder that there is abundance. And just a reminder to stay in that. And then, like I said, I get like phone calls, like being offered to do a painting or a commission or a job or something. So it's been helpful for that, for the protection against the evil eye. We had a bit of a, I actually do not want to give it too much. I don't want to give any names, any power on this podcast. I don't want to give any situation any power on this podcast. But there's a particular person who is just very unhappy with us practicing Obia because of our proximity to whiteness through the accident of birth, hey ho. Even though we've been initiated and it's within our fucking heritage. So I made a protection against the evil eye against that particular person because it just it's not necessary, guys. Well, yeah, they're not necessary.
They're not necessary.
It was just necessary.
Protection spell was.
The protection spell was, and it's been working well.
I love that you use it. So this is the thing with these medicine bags. You would normally use them for specific things, but also you can't limit yourself and put yourself into. Do you know what I mean? So for me, these things are alive. And we'll get onto this, like the materials that we use to make certain things, like, and that bag's made out of leather, animal, cow leather. Yeah. So for me, there's an energy of life in that. So it kind of has to be, when you work with these things, you're also taking on that energy and you're also kind of learning from that energy. It's also kind of becoming integrated with who you are and your medicine, your magic and your vibration. So these things will talk to you. And a lot of the time when you make a specific tool or a bag or whatever, it will be for a specific working or for to be used in a certain way. But that doesn't have to completely limit that thing. And if the tools talk to you or the herbs or whatever it is you're working with talk to you and say they want to be used in a different way, then 1000% do that. That medicine bag. Yeah. So when like you make these little small ones, like traditionally in shamanism, like you would carry, or a medicine person would carry a little medicine bag with them all the time with like their specific medicines that they work with. So there may be energies of different plants or different animals or crystals or, you know, whatever it is, and they'll always be placed in the bag. So there are many different ways to use these things. I love that you have mojo bagged the fuck out of this, basically. And I'd love to kind of like explain kind of what that is. So why would you even make this? Like, why would you have a medicine bag? So you've explained that obviously you've used it for protection spells, different kinds of spells. Yeah. What do you use inside of these bags? So how do you take that bag, and how do you create it into a mojo bag, essentially, for spell work? What kind of things do you use?
Well, first of all, I want to point out, using the term mojo bag, I like that. Medicine bag, mojo bag, I think these terms just point out where they are culturally, because you know, it's a very African spiritual tradition practice to use some kind of bag to put spells in. It's also very native to the Native Americas, who will also use a medicine bag. So I just think it's so fascinating that among both cultures, there is this idea of having a bag that contains herbs in it, of or plants in it of some kind, to bestow upon the wearer some kind of energy, whatever that energy that wearer is calling in. And for me, making a medicine bag is probably a bit more modern, because maybe not everyone would have had access to like crystals, that everyone would have had access to rocks. You can find rocks anywhere, and I'm definitely like a penguin when it comes to finding a special rock and putting it in a medicine pouch or a mojo pouch.
Oh my god, you
pouch.
Really are.
Everywhere I go, I'll be like, if someone asks me for something out my handbag, I'll be like, oh, there's a rock. And then depending on who I'm with, if it's Nikki, it'll just be a giggle. If it's someone who has no idea what the hell it is, it's like, why have you got a rock?
I'm from London, bruv.
Guys, and yeah, grounding.
Exactly. I was thinking a different kind of protection, like just having a rock in your handbag affords you a different kind of protection in London, I think. So multifaceted, this magic.
So I'll put some herbs in there. I'll put, and it literally depends on what I'm trying to invite in. If it's prosperity, then it's definitely going to be something like fire-based or water-based. I do want to draw a distinction between this, actually. I've been pondering on the different aspects of water and fire. Fire being the element of manifestation, but water being the element of continuous flow. I'm just finding that with money spells at the moment, that you would think water puts out fire, right? But I've actually been using like water herbs and fire herbs together, and I'm doing pretty well in terms of attracting abundance into my sphere. Like, I'm literally expanding. I'm able to do things I want to do with my life now. Finding the different herb combinations that work for me, that speak to me, and putting them inside the pouch, charging the pouch, setting my intentions, making sure I'm doing like a candle spell while I'm charging my intentions. Or perhaps if I'm outdoors in nature, I might be outdoors in nature without a candle, charging my intentions over it and just really focusing on meditating. And it's not wishing. With these practices, you never wish for what you want, because that's not how universe energy works. You have to see yourself in that version of the timeline. All you are doing each time you're working with energy and working with any of these tools is looking to step into a different section or version of the timeline. This is all charged up with a lot of good protection and filled with herbs. It smelled good before, but it smells so good. So good.
There's so many reasons to make these things, basically. I love it. I think that's really important. So it's so easy to do this for yourself. Like, I remember when I first started kind of making these things and then getting really confused at, well, what would I put in a medicine bag? And what, you know, trying to be right, trying to get the things right. Yeah. But Jay has just given such a beautiful explanation about it. It's really about the seeing and seeing that timeline that you're on. And then also, like you've just explained as well, really listening to those medicines and what they're saying to you. So, you know, traditionally you may not use a fire medicine and a water medicine together, but of course there is a way to work with those energies together. And of course, like those aspects, it's making me think now, like I need to do some more works. Like Jay said, she's got the abundance flowing. Just send me your spell list.
It just sort of struck me, all of the abundance spells I was doing, I was heavily, heavily focused on using fire, because fire is manifestation. Mm. It's the first ancestor. Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, setting your passion. Passion is a fiery thing, right? In how we understand it, like colloquially. I was standing in the river. I think I was having a really, really, really rough day about something. So I decided to go down to the river, and it's quite a shallow river where I live. I can literally walk down and stand in the middle of the river. And there was like a beam of light in a section, because it was under a bridge, and this one crack of light I went and stood in. So between the fire of the sun and the water, I just stood and I breathed. And then it was like the water spoke to me. It's like, you're putting all of this fire on things, but money is flow, cash flow. You put your money in the bank. The river has a bank. There is currency. currency. Like all of these words around money, they're cash flow. It's water words. We don't talk about money on fire. When you think of money on fire, you're burning notes and then you don't have the thing. What you're looking for is the continuous ebb and flow. And yeah, sometimes it might, you know, drop a little bit, but having that faith that the water does flow, it's going to come back in leap bounds. And if you can think of water in terms of money in terms of water energy, then you have an understanding of how abundance can work. So yeah, the fire and the water spoke to me that day, and she's like, yeah, put the things together. And then that afternoon I managed to stumble upon this like great manifestation song called Currency, where she said all of these things. So it was just like, wow, synchronous. Everything is...
See, this is real magic, guys.
This is real magic.
Like, this is I love this. I love this. I feel like you've given within that such a beautiful explanation of essentially like just how to do it, what animism is, what all of this is, because, you know, you've listened. So you've listened to those elements. They spoke to you. It may not have been like, you know, it came out of the water and was like, hi, I'm the spirit of the water. This is the energy. That isn't how it works, as much as we'd love it to be like that every single time. It's not. Yeah. So it's like having that stillness, enough stillness within yourself in that moment to step in the river and feel the different energy of those elements, of the sun and the water, and also listening to what that is. Because you've just, do you get what I mean? It's like you were given such a gift with that, and that comes through your practice, through your work. So that's the way to do it, guys. It is really just like going out and connecting and just seeing in nature. Like everything is told, like it's literally just told. If you stand and you watch something in nature, then you will receive so much information. Like there's no ifs and buts. It's like you can watch and you can literally see how a bird interacts with a different bird of another species. You can watch and see how a grass will grow and how the plant next to it won't go, you know, it won't grow in the same way. It's just so amazing. And this is spirit. Like this is listening to spirit. With that guidance. Oh, bloody beautiful. So I think I'm in one of those moods today. I was saying to Jay before we came on, I was like, don't know how this is gonna go. I'm in a bit of a weird mood. But so I really want to talk about the materials that you will use for things. So you can use anything, guys, anything. Mm-hmm. There are no rules. We live in an age now where the veil is thin. This is what I have had multiple teachers tell me, like, the veil is thin. It's like the thinnest it's been for a very long time in human history. And this therefore means that actually all this stuff is very accessible. It's possible for everybody to go down to the river and hear the water speaking. So therefore, if we're talking about these materials and these different things, it does matter in the sense of like what you're trying to bring in, like try and have an awareness of what you use. In some of the traditions I have been initiated in the Red Path, which is it's a mix of North and South Native American indigenous traditions, there's a very high emphasis on working with natural materials. And this is something that I really actually respect. Natural materials will all biodegrade. Natural materials won't be here for long after we are, if that makes sense. And this is one of the deepest teachings, I feel like, of shamanism, of animism, is to leave things as you found them. And I think that's a really important lesson. So I would, if I went to do a lodge or anything like that, we'd be, our job was to also to clear the land and leave the land as we left it, if not better. You know, that is, in my belief system anyway, the part of why we're here, like humans are caretakers, this is of the earth. And that's why we have this amazing ability to listen to the elements, to listen to nature, to listen to all of these things. And the part of that listening, really, you know, if you think, why would we have that ability, is to be able to caretake, to be able to support these systems. And we've gotten into a place in our societies where actually the natural systems of the earth are really ignored. Obviously there's mass movements right now of people saying, yeah, this is something we have to really focus on and we have to make sure we're taking care of the earth. But this is actually a very, very old idea. It isn't something that climate change scientists have just come out and decided we need to do. This is something that we're actually coming back round to. So therefore, with that long explanation, when we're making stuff in that tradition, we do like to use the natural materials, like I said, because they will biodegrade, is one of the main reasons I feel like that. And also then because the natural materials are closer to spirit, they've come from something. So you may use cotton. Cotton is always an amazing material to use, or bamboo, you know, things like that. I work with hemp. A lot of hemp. Exactly. There are so many things. I say cotton. And then when I say that, I think actually now in modern times, there are other plants that are better to use, natural materials. Yeah. So yeah, bamboo, hemp, wonderful. And there were so many options for being able to find those things now. I also do think that you don't have to go and buy anything. So you don't have to go, okay, I want to make a medicine bag. Let me go and find like some 100%, you know, fucking 600 thread count Egyptian cotton so that it's perfectly natural and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
If you have an old t-shirt, if you have an old altar cloth, if you have pieces of material that have already lived with you and have lived that life out and can become something else, then for me that is a really, really beautiful thing to do, to recycle, to create your tools. Obviously you would do cleansings and things like that on it all. One of the things that I love to make, so I'll talk to you a little bit about the medicine. We've always spoken about the medicine bags, but I will make a bag basically for every herb that I have. So this actually carries salt. I made this out of, this is cow leather and sheep skin. And it's just a beautiful, I like working with these. So there's a lot of people who, you know, cow leather may seem a bit boring in a way, but for me, the energy of cow, is very close to the energy of humans. So in Hindu traditions, the cow is seen as sacred because it gestates its baby for 9 months, same as humans.
Oh, wow, I did not know that.
So that's one of the reasons that it's seen as a sacred energy. It's close to God. It provides, and I know we've got all these ideas about milk. Now, I don't drink milk, but, you know, it provides like this healing, this nectar, you know, to its children. Yeah. So I love to work with these. Also, in the country that I'm from, where I live, we have a lot of cattle. We have a lot of sheep. So there's like this element of these are also the animals of this land right now. So when I'm doing work with this land, if this is an offering bag, I'll carry, like I said, salt is in here at the moment. It's what I will use. For example, if I want to go foraging, and I will offer something in return for what I've taken from the land. So I love to work with that in England. I think like it's beautiful. I've recently been having conversations with people about drums as well. So I don't know if in the background you can see there's my beautiful drum. And that's made of horse hide and ash wood. Again, like these two elements are super important. Like you haven't just got a, some stick and some skin from some animal. Like they've been thought about. So for me, the reason I wanted a horse hide drum is because when we're doing drum work in ceremony, the drum, the beat of the drum carries your prayers, basically. So it's seen as the horse. So it's like da 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 da. You're riding the horse. So your prayer is like riding, and it sends off through the fire to Great Spirit to hear the prayer. So it's like for me again, that this is like my my journeying drum. I wanted it to carry that energy of the horse, because that's for me representative of journeying to Great Spirit. There's I could literally talk that's about this for really like 20 beautiful. Hours.
That's so beautiful. I could listen to you talk for 20 hours. Can I jump in with something that I have made?
Yes, please.
I'm going to show you the other side, because there's a very personal sigil that's been carved into clay on this. It's a fan, and it contains like magpie feathers, pheasant feathers. There's a couple of like woodland pigeon feathers, not London pigeon feathers, woodland pigeon feathers. And I've wrapped this all into, so it had to be specified. They've all been cleaned and wrapped in this piece of clay, and I've set it with my intentions. I've carved a personal sigil onto there to set a specific intention for the air corner of my altar, and for using it to blow incense, which is also in the air corner of my altar, to carry any messages through smoke. And I foraged each of these feathers over probably a few years, and while I couldn't tell you now what they each meant individually, when I picked them up sort of poignant times in my life, they had very specific meanings of like overcoming whatever it was at that specific moment in time. So they've all been pieced together in my own fan, and you can buy these fans, and you know, I don't see anything wrong with buying from artisans who have put the love and intention into them, or you're supporting like native businesses. However, me putting this together has been it's been really intentional, really intentional. I've been very happy to make this. And then when you're talking about being simple and using the things of the land, I want to show you a stick, literal stick. Oh, yeah.
Love a good stick, babe. oh my god, that's such a stick.
It's a stick. It's a wand, and I use it for, you know, opening my practice, and it holds the energy of my initiation, which is really very important, because I don't know, I feel it embodies the sense of wonder that I would have got from that initiation. And a third thing, and then I promise I'm done showing you things until the end, when I show you this beautiful, beautiful foraging bag. I set the intention of what I'm using it for. Nikki made it beautiful. This is simply a piece of carnelian, or I think it is, at least. And where I bought it from in the crystal shop, it said it was carnelian, and it's actually wrapped with a piece of copper wire. Copper is a natural material, but I didn't go out and buy the copper. I found an old appliance that I no longer use, and I stripped the copper from the inside. Copper being something that carries electricity and magnetism. I wrapped it around almost like an energetic diode, and that's to enhance the intentions of that specific crystal. And it's really fascinating, actually. It's almost like this one is looking quite fresh, but I did this with another crystal, and quite soon after, it looked like the copper had been caught by lightning and it just like burnt out on the crystal. So that was really friggin' fascinating to me. So I like showing this one, but I can't remember. I just remember being like, what?
Yeah, amazing.
It's like the wire had burnt out or something. So I knew that it was that was done. So I put that back, that crystal wrapped in that copper back into the earth. You know, that's nothing that's going to harm the earth. But this is a really simple DIY. You need two things, a crystal and some wire that you've charged with your intentions. And you just wrap it around, which just goes to show that there are even like natural materials within the synthetic world that you can get access to and you can repurpose. Otherwise, mm-hmm. that wire would have just gone straight back into, you know, a recycling plant or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
See, that's amazing. This is also another thing I really love about you is you are so good at finding the way to use all of these elements, man. Is that, like, literally just get an old toaster, strip the copper out of it. Love it. Love it. Yeah. Because, you know, this is the thing.
Important, yeah.
Yeah, and there was so much to buy. Like, I was spoken about this before, you know, like getting into spirituality was one of the most expensive things I did, because all of a sudden there was like this whole new world of like equipment that I felt like I needed everything, yeah. You know, and it's just, but the irony is when you're doing this kind of work, like I agree with you when it comes to buying from like indigenous shops and yeah. things like that. Like, I think that's a beautiful thing to do, especially if you're working in a different way that you're maybe not as connected to, but also remembering that almost, you know, all of us will come from places that where they do have things that are similar to this. All of the shamanistic and animistic traditions are pretty much the same, like, and the differences are purely the land they're on, that they will work with different herbs and things like that, yeah. or different cycles. So I think it's also a really important thing to remember that we do live in, you know, right now it's 2020 fucking two, and we have like a crazy amount of waste on the earth, and, you know, actually buying things sometimes isn't the best thing to do when it comes to stuff like this, mm-hmm. when, you know, you creating and using your own magic is a really wonderful thing to do. And also, it means that some recycling happens, and recycling's also always, always fucking good. So I love your fan, and I love that you showed that, because, and also how you spoke about it. So like the setting the intention with the fan. So like, I remember when I first, oh, I don't have my other fan with me right now, but that's okay, because I didn't make that one.
No.
Okay. I bought it, but it was made for me. So the guy who made it called me one day and was like, I've got these feathers from this specific bird. And I was like, are you joking? Because I've just met with that bird as a spirit animal, as a power animal. So he was like, yeah, I'm gonna make it to a fan, and I want you to buy it. And I was like, okay, I will buy it. And then when I received that fan, I asked my teacher, like, you know, what do you do with these things? Basically, you wave them around and go, oh, yeah. And she was like, you set the intention. They are for different things. So we'll use, you know, the energy, like you've said, the energy of a feather of a bird is air. So we'll use that in that place in our altar, with the smoke, usually to do some smoke clearing with the feather. But you can also use them for many different things. So that first fan that I don't have to show you is, like I said, connected to one of my power animals. So I will hold that. That fan will pretty much only ever just be held and connected with as a piece of energy to connect with that specific animal. I also have, so this was like, I think this was like the first one that I made.
The
fan, and it has moonstone, labradorite, so
beautiful.
And fluorite. Duck.
You made that one.
Yeah.
Where's
I was
mine?
Really proud of this one. Oh, I made you one boobs. It wasn't, it doesn't have as many feathers on as this, but that's because the feathers are rarer so on your one. So yeah, so this, and this fan is the fan that I will use in that element of air on my altar to do, yeah, there you go, buzzard. That's right. That's why there's only one on there. I was only gifted one buzzard feather from brother buzzard.
am I allowed yeah, to so, clip this off of the bag?
Babe.
Sorry, I feel like I've railroaded your story.
No, that's cool. You can totally clip it off the bag. That's the point. That's why I made it with a clip. We'll talk about that in a second, though.
I did. Okay, so then I also, go back to your story. We'll come back.
We'll
to
go back to it, and we'll
revelation.
Come back to the fan. So then, this is also another one I have, owl, which is beautiful with a little canary owl. On it. And this one owl. Is owl. Is that my weird accent saying it's strange again? Oh gosh.
No,
owl.
it's a phone shop reference.
Oh, okay. I'm not as good at you as that phone shop. You do need to educate me.
Yeah.
But this is something that I made. I made this like a year ago. And this one is, again, it's more of like, this is for me, a more of a connecting with, again, the energy of owl and that yeah. energy of being the world bridger. So in my Mayan astrology, I'm a blue cosmic world bridge, something, I can't remember all the words, but I'm world bridger, and owls yeah. also do that. So they connect, they bring messages from the other side, and that's why they can seem like quite dark and scary, because they are connected to spirit. So for me, if I'm doing any kind of channeling work, or sometimes when I'm doing divination, like I will have this with me, and this will be what I use to clear the energy mm-hmm. around me. And look, literally, guys, you don't need to have a special feather. I know Jay just cussed off the London pigeons, but thinking about the energy of them, right? They are like, one, pigeons are the fastest bird in comparison to their size in the entire world, right? So that
really?
Fucking pigeon is yeah. like, it's an amazing thing. They can survive. Like, just think about it. What did the London pigeons survive? They survive. All they eat is McDonald's and chicken shop, and they survive on cannibalism yeah. like that. They're strong. I see them walking around with like wings hanging off, legs hanging off, and they're still fucking surviving. Like, there's something about their energy which I think actually is great. If you want like an energy of like survival,
I get that. And do you know what? I take your valid points about London pigeons. They're resilient AF. Maybe if you're looking to get resilience through suffering, maybe a London pigeon is what you want. Maybe go to a park where you've got a pigeon who spends most of their time in the park instead of like outside of Peckham's KFC. Like, let's use our common sense here.
Yeah, we're not up for those cannibalistic pigeons.
And watch out for fleas. When I pick up these feathers, the feathers yeah. that I've picked up, they've come largely from the countryside or like a town with a huge, huge park. So you know those pigeons don't need to go far because they are eating good in that park. And I've brought them home and I've washed them and I've made sure to like cleanse them with sage as well. Cleanse them with Florida water. So they've been like fully like cleansed before they've gone onto my altar. And after I've touched them in the park, you know, I've made sure I've washed my hands, and not like
this is a very good
and touched my face.
Like, yeah, don't do that after you've touched a feather. Like, so this is a very, very good point to make, actually, and I did want to say about it. So there are many ways to clean feathers, and you must clean a feather that you pick up off the ground because they carry mites and things like that. Like, so the things that you can't see. So occasionally I'll see something moving on the feather. I probably won't even take it with me, but it depends on how much yeah. I can be bothered to clean that day. But the mites are, sometimes they're invisible. So what you want to do at the very least, and sometimes when I'm feeling very lazy and I can't be asked, I will get a Ziploc bag, put the feathers yeah. that I've just found in the Ziploc bag with a couple of mothballs, close that up. I'll leave it outside my house, like in the front garden or on a windowsill or whatever, for at least 24 hours, usually about 48 hours, and that will kill the mites. Another thing that you can do wow. is use hydrogen peroxide, like a little bit. I don't have the measurements right yeah. now, so Google it if you want to do this. It's literally wiki... how or whatever it is, it's on there. Use a little bit of hydrogen peroxide or alcohol, or even you can use a bit of dish soap. I don't love doing that. But you can also bring feathers back to life. So if you find like a bit of a crusty feather, that we cross each other. And you know when they're kind of like, so how can I, like, okay, so this is not a crusty feather, but I will show you what I mean. So can you see how this is kind of separated and bent?
Yeah.
And this will happen with feathers quite, you know, easily. They're hair, essentially. So they move. Yeah. Just lying that on like a sunny windowsill, the UV helps re-oil the feather. So sometimes you'll see birds sitting in the sun. I see this all the time. Birds just like sitting in the sun like this, and they'll open their wings and stuff, and it's because the UV helps with all of that. So that will usually
I needed help this your episode reform. More than you, the listener, needed this episode, because now I've learned what to do with my feathers.
There are so many things, like so many little bits like this that have taken me like well over a decade to get my head around. And if you asked me to write all down, I wouldn't be able to tell you. Like, it's just, there are bits that need to be done.
I mean, but we are going to be putting together all of this knowledge in a course, which will probably be coming up. It'll either be the beginning of next year coming, or it probably won't be the end of this year. Soon.
It will be soon. We're not going to give you any specific dates. We have to look at the stars before we plan the dates, guys. another amazing thing to make for yourself are rattles. This is the only one I've ever made. And they are so simple.
I made a rattle.
Did you?
What is it? I did. Oh, do you want to hear a sad story? I have an allotment, as you know, guys. I grew these spaghetti squashes, and if you've ever had because they're expensive and they were a craze at the time, I'm like, I'm just going to grow them. And they grow so quickly. They're great. And when you finish a spaghetti squash, if you bake it whole, the outside goes like rock solid, but the inside goes soft. So you can scoop out all of the spaghetti squash, eat your dinner, make your low carb disgusting pasta. You can then take the shell, and the shell is hard, and you can fill it with beans, and then you can put an end on it, and then you have a rattle. And exactly. I did this, and then me, like an idiot, bought some like organic, super organic rice into the house, and I opened it, and I didn't realize there were weevils in it, and the bag wasn't closed properly. So somehow these weevils got into my rattle I was using at my altar, and one day I accidentally sat on this rattle, and I was like, oh no, I'm so sad. I grew and made this rattle from scratch, and when I sat on it, all of these like weevils came like pouring out, and I was like, oh my god, I was just protected there by sitting on this thing and squashing it, because it was just time to go. I probably need to grow some more squashes and get a new rattle, or commission you to do me a rattle,
or I'll just show you how to do it. I've got loads of hide to use for them, so yes, we can do that. That's crazy. See, this is something I find really interesting. Obviously, like, this is a rattle made out of leather, but our rattles traditionally wouldn't necessarily be, I think this isn't modern, but you know, at the beginning we would have used gourds, you know, so we would have used things like that. So squashes things, and we would have used the seeds and all that kind of stuff to create these rattles. So that is literally such an amazing thing. I don't know fully how to make them. So I feel like there's something, obviously you cooked it, which is great, but there's probably an element of preserving it that needs to be done, which I have no idea about. But again, I'm sure fucking Google magic will tell you what that is.
I think it would have lasted for a very long time.
For a very long time.
If I grow probably the cooking squash again. Yeah. Dried
please
it out.
Bring me some. Yeah. Okay, so rattle. So again, this is something I can't really go too much into without doing a workshop. But again, rattle is a really important for the rhythm. So when we're doing work, when we're doing journeying, or when we're trying to raise the energy, so you can use your rattle to open your circle, you know, to call in the spirits. This one's beautiful because it has amber in it. So it's just got a few little rocks. You just use tiny little rocks, or you can use lentils, bean, you know, whatever you want. I like using rocks because there's just not really any chance that it's weevils.
No weevils getting in there.
No weevils are getting involved. and then a little bit of amber resin is in there. And so when you rattle it, it creates basically this incredible thing with the vibration of the sound and the smell. And you can use, again, the energy of rattles for cleansing as well. So you can cleanse auras with them and things like that. There's so much to be done with them. Rhythm is just a really important thing for spiritual work when it comes to, like we've spoken about a lot, moving out of this consciousness into another level of consciousness. And then one last thing I just want to show you is, obviously, when you create all of these bits and pieces, all these little bags, then you probably will want a bigger bag to put them all in. Yeah. So this is my medicine bag. And this is just what I take around with me to carry. Let's pop a bag. I had to be like, let's get all fashionable with it.
Did you make that?
Yeah, I made this one.
You made that?
Yeah, babes. That was so easy.
Now, this is the point where you pause the podcast, you go onto our Instagram, you get into all of our comment sections, and you're like, why is Nikki not selling her medicine bags? Like,
I don't know. I need to talk to Spirit about it. I do need to a journey around that. Because look, I also believe this. Yeah. Like, I love making things, and they will be, like I've said, made specifically for the energy of a person. But there's also an element that I feel like you should do it yourself. So even with Jay, for example, you hear me saying that, I could make her a rattle and be like, okay, give me 60 quid, babes. That would actually, maybe I should do that. I don't know. That actually, my like...
You heard it here first, guys.
My preference would be to teach you how to make it. So then when you're doing this, because it's the same thing, you're stitching. So, you know, there's so many spaces where you can create and put your intention and your energy and your magic. I feel like when you're working with medicine tools for your own medicine work, you should make them yourself. Yeah. I feel like that is the most amazing thing to do.
I see merit in that. I do. But this, receiving this has been, I haven't gone foraging as yet because we're now at a weird part of the year. Where
it's the wrong season.
I'm waiting for autumn foraging. Autumn foraging is my favourite. And can you tell me what materials this, or tell our listeners what materials this is made out of?
So again, that's similar. It's cow, leather, and sheep. So also what I do is I don't just go out and buy like loads of massive bits of leather. I will buy leather bits from charity shops or offcuts. So I'm not actually, for me, that's different from me going out and just buying a hide that's been created to the stuff I'm constantly recycling. So this is this is sheep and cow. And also then you've got the cowrie shells on it and buzzard feather. So I made this for Jay for her 31st. Sorry, I just aged you out there. 31st birthday. And on the day of her birthday, when she was getting her tits out in Brighton, I was walking the dog, as I'm always doing. And Brother Buzzard, like, so that a buzzard who I feel like I've got a relationship with, like, because I see him like every day. He flew past me and there was this feather from him on the floor. So I just knew in that moment that was for you.
Yeah. And you know what? This is the bag that keeps on giving, because as you saw here, I was today years old when I learned that this is a detachable fan. I saw there was a clip, but one and one did not equal two. But like... Look at that. Look at the craftsmanship.
So this is something that I'm trying to, I do love organization. And one of the things I struggle with is carrying all my fans. So you'll get your fan will get crushed in your bag and you'll be so sad. So I was like, how can we modernize this and make this work in a different way? So I've literally just essentially made the fan into a bit of a key ring and clipped it onto the back.
It's got a little loop for it. And you just... And as you know, guys, I spent a lot of time being vegan, and you're probably asking, like, what? Why would you accept cow or leather? Like, from the beginning, when I went vegan, it was for environmental reasons. So the idea of buying plastic leather shoes didn't make any sense to me. And it's just putting money in oil corporation hands. Secondhand leather, or, you know, leather that is not directly, as like a secondary part of the supply chain, it's probably been less of an issue to me because it already exists. It is biodegradable. Not only is it biodegradable, it lasts a really long time if you look after it well. If you're like, if it's the type of leather that needs oiling and you oil it, if it's more of a suedey texture and you keep it brushed, it lasts for a really long time, and these things can be passed on. My mom has this leather coat that she made back in the 80s, and she passed that on to me when I was in my early 20s. So that, you know, that lasted a good 20, gosh, I've got another jacket in there that is a good 40-year-old jacket that my mom passed on to me. And that's important because right now I could pass that on to a kid in another 15 years if I had a kid right now. It has longevity. It doesn't 100%. Doesn't clutter the earth.
And how beautiful is it to be able to have these kind of things to be able to pass down, you know? So, like, I mean, I love a vintage leather jacket from the 80s. I'm glad I don't have one. But, like, you know, just to have this, that energy of what you've created. So, you know, if you were to pass on one of your medicine bags or something to your children after 20 years of working with it, it isn't just a medicine bag anymore. It's a piece of you. And yeah, I just think that's a beautiful thing to suggest.
So it's important, like, we've got to be real when we talk about the sustainability. I don't think replacing everything with plastic is the way forward. I think it's just a really ill thought out response to a problem that we're having, and it's an ill thought out response that once again puts money into the hands of the people who are causing these issues in the first instance. Weird to me. Leather over plastic any day. Responsibly sourced leather over plastic.
Exactly. And there are also other options now where they are making all these amazing plant leathers, and I haven't worked with them only because they are extortionately expensive. So you can get leather made out of mushroom, you can get leather made out of pineapple, you can get leather made out of fish, which may be more palatable for some people, like fish skin and things like that. And so, you know, my advice in regards to making your tools, like at the beginning I said, use what you have, use the things that you feel connected to, and like, don't judge yourself if you're actually are just going to use something that you already have in your house and has been used to something else. That's absolutely fine. Like, you cleanse and you put the intention of what you want into this thing. And actually, in our modern days, all of these things do need to be adjusted to the world that we live in now, which is not a green utopia. It's a world that's been like almost irreparably damaged. So really having awareness, full stop, through the materials that you use and how you use them and why you would use them is a really important line of thought, I think, for us all to engage in right now.
Definitely. This has been such an insightful episode. For me, here I am. No, I've learned a lot from you today.
Babe,
I always learn a lot from you, but yeah.
Same, babes. Same.
Yeah. Wow. Lost for words.
I just like, I'm like, we are going to have to do a workshop or something and actually bring these skills. So if you have loved what we've spoken about today and they're you would like to kind of hear from us on more explanations on how to create your medicine tools, let us know. Because we will be making some workshops for you guys.
Definitely. But
that's been a long one today, babe. Chatting away.
Yeah, I do love the chatting away ones that run over a little because we've got lost in the topic. So excited for these workshops. On that wonderful note, thank you for being here. I've been Jay Percy
and I'm Nicola. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Bye. Thank you. thank you, thank you, beautiful being of the multiverse, for joining us on the Afro-Animist podcast.
If you want to get stuck into the conversation or have a question about anything we speak about here, join our mailing list and find us on our socials.
On TikTok and Instagram, find us at the Afro-Animist podcast.
On Twitter, you can find us at Afro-Animist. If you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple Music, you can also find this talk on YouTube. Just search for us and we will pop up as if by magic.
If you're loving what we're talking about here, share, like, and subscribe. And remember to leave us a thumbs up or 5-star rating on your favourite platform.